was there even anything to directly point to? Was it just kind of a depression, or what was that, so we can kind of relate to you a little bit more?
Yeah, and from a practical perspective, that's a very good question, because it really brings it home in a practical sense for people. So, yeah, happy to share that. It was several things all rolled into one. There had been tense relationship difficulty, which led to a lot of pain. And basically, I got to a point, Kelly, where I wasn't depressed as such, but I was just looking at things very frankly. And I got to a point where I said to myself, my life might not actually work out.
Ooh.
So again, this is something that I touched upon earlier about looking at things rather than avoiding them.
Yes.
So I said that to myself, and I certainly wasn't jumping for joy. I wasn't in a happy space, but I wasn't totally depressed either. I was just looking at it very frankly and fairly calmly. It was sort of a bit of a sad space, but it's not what you would call depression. But
right.
I did look at it frankly and say, my life might not work out.
Yeah.
Might not find the woman of my dreams. I write music, and I thought, maybe nothing's going to happen with the music. Maybe nothing's going to happen with my writing. Maybe I won't travel as much as I'd like. And I just squarely looked at it and I said, okay, my life might not work out. And when this was happening, that was a very real prospect for me.
right.
So that, yeah. And
thank you.
And again, just sitting with the feeling, and it's amazing how much just sitting with things and holding things in terms of a feeling in your heart and in your gut, just holding the feeling can itself find answers without us having to sort of mentally rack our brain to find the answers. I find holding the feeling of happiness and joy and love and pain very, very powerful. So when I was going through that and I looked at that, those possibilities that my life might not work out, I simply held that for, I can't even remember how long it was, but I just held it without trying to force it away. I just held it and held it and held it. And eventually, if you're not avoiding and you're being honest with yourself and with God or whatever part of you is eternal, whatever that means to our listeners, it shifts something internally. It transmutes it. It's, I guess it's the alchemy that we sometimes speak of. And I eventually, after slowly moving through this, got to a point where I said to myself, okay, if that's going to be the way it is and things are not going to work out for me, I guess I've got two options. I could really get depressed about that and I could spiral and really go down, or I could say to myself, okay, even if it doesn't work out, I could still try and make it as good as I could make it, or be as happy as I could be, given that it hasn't worked out. So that was
right.
a preferable option than spiraling and just going totally down.
Right.
And once I had sort of gotten to that place, Kelly, that's when I started to get these peaks behind the curtain. And they were what I would call intuitive certainty. So it's more than a hunch. It's certainly much more than a hope or an optimistic outlook. It's what I would call intuitive certainty.
Ooh,
and
that's good.
I think perhaps the best example that our listeners can relate to with that is the simple example of, do you love your mother?
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people would say yes, and I go, well, how do you know?
Mm.
And there is no how. You just have an intuitive certainty about it.
Right.
So
right. Ooh, that's good.
So I am talking that degree of clarity where it enabled me to just know certain things that I wouldn't have previously known in the regular course of my life. And they gave rise to what you mentioned before, Kelly, about the lightness and the laughter and the levity and the fun stuff. So,
my God.
Again, being at the coalface where you go there as opposed to not go there, that was the start of how it all turned around.
Wow. So powerful.